And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. It's like, what, three-fourths of the SEC right there. Well, okay, one-fourth. Anyway, all right. Hey, listen, we got some stuff laid on for you, but one of the things that we're real excited about is we work hard to get, you know, every month or so a national name to bring in for an in-depth interview, or for that matter, someone who's in state politics that you need to hear from with an in-depth interview. So, you know, we've had some great ones. We had Ted Nugent. We had Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. We had New York Times bestselling author Buzz Patterson. We've had, of course, Katie Britt sat in studio for an extended interview. So did Lieutenant Governor Will Ingsworth not long ago. We just last week had an extended interview with the future Speaker of the Alabama House, Nathaniel Ledbetter. And then just today, before the show started, we were able to record a roughly an hour-long interview with Grammy Award-winning, Gospel Music Award-winning singer-songwriter legacy name, Stephen Curtis Chapman. So that's going to be very cool. What a great – Boomer set that up.
It was an awesome
His
interview.
Nashville connections coming into play there. True story, I went to Boomer's and his wife's wedding – Seven and a half years ago. And Stephen Curtis Chapman sang at your wedding. So
he did.
I was kind of blown away by that.
It was definitely a very, very special moment for us. And
well, you were getting married, yeah.
Well, yeah. But also just a friend of both of mine and my wife's and his family. And they're just incredible in the story that they have. And what they've gone through, I know a lot of people know, is just incredible, and just how they continue to put God first and also help people. It's just absolutely incredible. And then his whole adoption story also really spoke to my family as well. So,
well, and yeah, and it's just, it was one of those interviews too, where a lot of it, I just, would ask a question. It's a joy hearing him tell his story. And, so yeah, folks, listen, if you like me have been, you know, listening to, you know, Christian recording artists for any number of years, I guarantee you, you've listened to Stephen Curtis Chapman at some point.
Yes.
But, I mean, I can tell stories. And I did tell him anecdotally about things like, you know, taking my kids to see him in concert when they were young. And then, you know, he had one of his breakout albums was The Great Adventure in like 1992 or three. And that was like the theme song at our house for the longest time. The kids would get up in the morning and say, "Daddy, Daddy, can you play Saddle Up Your Horses?"
Oh, and absolutely. So, when people heard this.
There it is.
I mean, you know, I know I woke up to it. So
anyway, I'm stoked, and I'm just glad this show was able to branch out and do stuff like that. We're gonna do the, you know, I even said it to Stephen in the interview that we're gonna endeavor at all times. This show is literally going to do what I call the four E's. When you tune in, I hope that you're going to be educated, enlightened, empowered, and entertained to know what it means to be a Christian conservative in today's world. And so that's a huge piece of why I even literally my Charlene and I pivoted our life towards doing this radio show. And today was just one of those moments where I had to kind of like sort of poke myself. Is this really happening? It is. Interviewing Stephen Curtis Chapman, whose music I've been listening to for 30 years, and just a normal dude. Just a dude, a normal dude doing abnormal things, let's put it that way. Mm. Which is what most good folks are, really. But yeah. Anyway, so that's coming up later this week. We'll let you know the airtime. But we're going to go ahead and just get that thing prepped for air and then play it. And I think you'll enjoy it. All right. Hey, listen, we got stuff on the agenda. So let me jump over to the triple dipper, grab my notes. And by the way, I do have to say there is some breaking news. Well, there's been several pieces of breaking news, not the least of which is what's going on in China. Mm. So, Burma, you seeing that, the China stuff?
I mean,
huge protests.
Huge protests with what's going on with the lockdowns and stuff. It's just...
Oh, yeah. China is just...
Wow.
There's COVID lockdowns or shutdowns. Then there's China, like on a different plane. So I did not know to the extent to, I mean, I knew they were draconian. I knew there were people that were beginning to protest. There's apparently an Apple factory over there, you know, Apple iPhone factory, that where the protest started up because they're sick of being locked down. They're not allowed to leave their homes. If they do, they have to get into like almost like chemical suits, come to work. And it's just, it's very draconian. Well, it's gotten worse than that. In some cities, the officials have been literally chaining people's doors so they can't leave their homes. And an apartment building, and I saw the video because the video has been getting out, an apartment building apparently just burned yesterday, killing scores of families and their children because the families were chained inside the building and could not leave, and firemen couldn't get into them. And that's wow. I mean, I was mad at Governor Ivey keeping the state shut down longer than I thought we should have here. We got nothing on that. So, wow. Watch the news. They're saying right now, I saw one commentator this morning say that the protests that we're seeing right now in China are on par with what we saw in Tiananmen Square some years back. So keep your eyes on the horizon there. All right, listen. Number one in the Triple Dipper, true crime. It's gotten to be sort of like, I hate to use the word epidemic. It's so overwhelming or overworked. But it's almost as if crime is epidemic level right now, especially in cities that are run by liberal Democrats. And it's usually major metropolitan areas. And some examples I've got here for you are Portland, Oregon, New York City, Chicago, and Birmingham. Yep, I'm going to be talking about our own Birmingham. I love, by the way, don't mistake the fact that I talk about Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin and his policies and the administration of this city council. Don't mistake that for any loss of love for the city. I did a lot of my growing up in the Birmingham area, all over West Birmingham, in places that are now somewhat blighted. My granddaddy, I've said before, was a steel worker. I grew up in Inslee and Wylam and then running barefoot out towards Pleasant Grove. And so I'm just saying, I love that community. I don't love what's happening to it. But first story I've got here comes off of Fox Business. So Portland, you remember the Summer of Love? You remember this? So I believe it was Mayor Ted Wheeler, who is the mayor of Portland, which, by the way, why is he still the mayor? Why hadn't he been run out on a rail? Why haven't they tarred and feathered that guy? But here's how bad it's gotten. So storyline dated yesterday. Headline, you ready? Portland store shuts down, posts a blistering note on the front door slamming rampant crime saying the city is in peril. That's the headline. So here's the scoop. A Portland, Oregon clothing shop permanently shut down this month after facing a string of break-ins. 15 break-ins. 15. That has left the store financially gutted. Here's the note. Here's what the note said. The owner of the store put this up in the store window. Says our city is in peril. Small businesses cannot sustain doing business in our city's current state. We have no protection or recourse against the criminal behavior that goes unpunished. Do not be fooled into thinking that insurance companies will cover losses. We have sustained 15 break-ins. We have not received any financial reimbursement since the third one. Wow. That's the note on the window. So Fox Business apparently tracked down the store's owner. Her name is Marcy Landolfo. She said she just got to the point, she said the business can't survive. It's too much of a financial burden. It's not safe. And the message it says posted at the front of the store noted that the shop is closing down due to the, quote, unrelenting criminal behavior and escalating safety issues for the employees. So how does the city respond to that? Well, you would love to believe that a responsive government would go, wow, all right, we got an issue here. We're so sorry this happened. We're looking into what we can do. We're doing this and this. No. You know what the response was from Mayor Ted Wheeler? Mayor Ted Wheeler, who accommodated the Chaz. Remember the Chaz? The Chaz, that lawless section that protesters walled off in the city and said it was now theirs, and they were declaring a free zone where they got to do whatever they wanted to do. And it was anarchy inside the Chaz. That was Portland. Mayor Ted Wheeler was just standing by. He did not. Donald Trump was threatening to send in the National Guard. He said, call me for National Guard and I will federalize them and we'll get them. And the governor could have done it themselves. The governor wouldn't do it. And anyway, Mayor Ted Wheeler's office says they're working on a plan to financially assist business owners who need to repair their shops. Nothing about recanting his, you know, soft on crime policies or his defunding the police. No, no, not that. We're just going to help you make repairs after they tear up your store. But that business owner I was talking about said that's really not enough to address the crime of the city. They said paying for the new glass is great, but that's so surface and does nothing for the root cause of the problem, so it's never going to change. And, I mean, so here's this. The National Retail Federation conducted a survey and found that retail crime is up 26.5%. Yeah. It's a multi-billion dollar issue for the retail sector. 26.5% increase in retail crime. Violent crime in Portland, the city we're talking about, is up exponentially. The city saw a 58% increase in homicides in 2020, and then in 2021, it went up another 54% from that. Why would you want to live in downtown Portland where they don't care about your safety and their solution to public crime and retail crime and businesses being threatened is to say, well, we'll help you pay for new glass, but we don't want to enforce crime because that's, I don't know, it's mean, whatever. Bunch of snowflake Democrats running a major, beautiful, beautiful city, and their solution is not to help. It's to pay after the fact, not to do the preparatory work on the front side. It's the preventive work on the front side that's harder. They're taking the lazy route. I would buy you some new glass. What good is that when you can't run your business? New glass on a non-business? Not very helpful. Well, I got a stack of these. We're going to come back through for this break. 2:46 p.m. right now. We'll take the break right now, Boomer, and listen, we get back. How about this? In New York City, if you're a landlord of a property, can you do a background check? Maybe not much longer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. True Crime. We'll be right back. And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Rita from Scottsboro has texted in and said, hey, that when I was talking a minute ago about Portland, she goes, the CHAZ, which was the something, I forgot what CHAZ even stood for, but it started off as CHOP or maybe, anyway, Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. There was one in Seattle. There was also one in Portland. I've got an article here, Rita. So you were right. So was I, apparently. There's an article here from July of 2020 talking about Portland protesters creating their own autonomous zone by pitching tents and building barricades and then having to be dragged out by police at some point later on. But yeah, they did it right near the Portland, where my screen will quit jumping around, Portland's Lounsdale Square near the Federal Pioneer Courthouse, which, by the way, one of my favorite scenes was when on the federal courthouse being attacked over and over and over again was when some of the Antifa protesters just went one step too far and got it handed to them by some federal police. Anyway, there's that. Hey, so yeah, let me jump back into the true crime segment here. The next thing you got, so I just did Portland. I'm just giving you some left-wing run cities and where they are in terms. By the way, this is across the board. This is all over the place. You could find Los Angeles. You can find Seattle. I could have pulled stories, but I had to keep it down to a minimum just because it goes on and on. You could look at Philadelphia. You could look at Boston. Here's one from New York City. So it's not just the policies of, like, not putting them in prison and keeping them there. It's not just the, you know, get-out-of-jail-free cards that criminals have now. It's even things like getting in the mix with private sector business. Like, how about this? New York Post, dated November 26, 2 days ago. New York City landlords could soon be denied criminal background checks for their tenants. What? Yes. So here's the thing. It says a controversial bill prohibiting the Big Apple landlords from performing criminal background checks on prospective tenants, even those convicted of violent crimes like murder, is on a fast track to becoming law. It says at least 30 of the city council's 50, they have 51 members in the city council. At least 30 of the city council's 51 members have agreed to back the, quote, Fair Chance for Housing Act. I love it when they give it these titles. Fair Chance for a Housing Act. Well, it doesn't matter that basically you're basically stepping in on a private sector right to determine whether or not they're putting someone that can be trusted into a home that they may have invested greatly in. Never mind. Doesn't matter. The interesting thing is this bill's already come up and died once before. Just last year, city groups, you know, landlord advocacy groups and tenants got together and said, no, this is, we don't want convicted murderers getting out of jail and living next door. We just don't. I mean, can we not have a say in this? Well, they fought it back. However, the bill is now back because they've had elections in New York City. They've got a new group of folks in there who are saying that they'll also support a bill like this. And Mayor Eric Adams, it says here from New York Post, appears more than willing to sign it into law should it reach his desk. In his words, no one should be denied housing because they were once engaged with the criminal justice system, plain and simple. No one's saying they're being denied housing. What about the landlords? Are they not allowed to deny someone the right to rent from their facility? I mean, anyway. Now, the bill does not affect City Housing Authority. Why? Because they receive federal dollars, and they're required to by federal law. Oh, okay. So, all right. So, in the housing complexes, they can screen them, but otherwise, no. It also does not apply to two-family homes, like a duplex, I guess, or homeowners who rent out a single room. Okay. It also does not affect sex offender registries. Okay. Well, there's something for you. But what we're looking at here is New York has gotten to be the place where it's like the poster child for soft on crime. And it gets worse when they start stepping into the lane of the private sector and saying, hey, you know, I know you chose to run an apartment dwelling business. I know you chose to invest in that rental home to make a little extra money to put your kids through college. I know you do this as a way to make a living, but we're just going to get in your way and tell you, yeah, we can't allow you to screen. What do you mean? I'm not discriminating against race, sex, or gender. Yeah. If they've been a violent criminal, we just think they should be allowed to live there. Live with it. No pun intended. It's the way that liberals will always seem to take the side of non-common sense. Now, granted, you know what? If you feel that way, go be a landlord and say that your apartment complex will allow anyone to live there. Just advertise it that way. What you got, Booms?
Well, I have a question. All right.
Ask me a question.
Yeah, so, like, I understand that how these liberals, I mean, I actually don't understand, but how they take this other side, but aren't some of, there's landlords out there that are on the left. I just don't understand. How do they not see it themselves?
Oh, you know what? Because when it affects them, it's different.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it's all good. Do you want to put that solar field out in my backyard?
Correct.
It's all good till I can't heat my house or I have to pay money at the pump.
Yeah.
It's all good till I own an apartment complex and you tell me I can't do a criminal background check.
Oh, man.
Lord. Now you just, Boomer, what were you thinking bringing common sense to the conversation?
I don't know. I guess that's not, it's not part of our show, common sense.
Not when you're on those kind of segments, is not. All right, folks, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Hour number two, the local, the state, the national, man, we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, so we got several texts in. John from Huntsville texted in, says, Phil, has a group of people ever stormed the streets to protest people's rights to protest? I got to stop and almost paint that out in my mind to make sure I understand. Have they ever stormed the streets to protest people's right to protest? Well, I feel certain that some have, based on some of what I would say that Antifa is storming the streets to protest people who are out there doing counter protests on things they don't believe in. So there's that. Maybe so, John. Maybe so. Jeremy from Huntsville said, with regards to that story on New York City not allowing for background checks on by landlords, New York City mayors need to have a crackhead neighborhood move in. I agree. Move them right into Gracie Mansion. Just there you go, Mayor. How you like that? What else we got there? Tom from Huntsville just said he enjoys the show greatly. And, Tom, we appreciate your comments. That means a lot to us, and so thank you very much. And then JT from Lacey Springs has texted in and said, renters and lessors may as well just say free apartments, losing the right to I agree. Losing the right to screen tenants will in no time plunge property values. Good point.
Yes.
Hey, if you want to text in, by the way, I didn't say it earlier. The number here is 833-687-4448. It's up on the website. You can see it there too. 833-687-4448, which is also 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number you can call in and text in. So, yep, there's that. And the website I mentioned a moment ago, all our podcasting, everything's on there. That is www.rightsideradio.org. Boomer, speaking of podcasting, how are we doing?
We are at 96,800. So we'll be in 97 dude. Before the end of the evening.
Dude, we'll be over 97 before the end
yep,
of the evening.
Yep, over.
And that... Then, okay, how many days do I have left? Today's the 28th.
You got
30 or 31 days, 30 days in November.
There's
right?
30 days.
Oh,
so you got
shoot.
till Wednesday. So maybe we'll get Steven's interview on okay. So everybody will start downloading.
Okay,
it.
So
I see why you wanted it on Wednesday.
Here's the thing. If you don't know what's going on, Boomer and I have had a running bet. Our podcast has really taken off. We've got 100,000, almost, we're pushing 100,000 downloads. What'd you say, 96.8?
96.8.
Okay. We're at 96,800. I predicted that by the end of the month, we'd be at 100,000. But I forgot about the Thanksgiving holidays. So I was literally tracking. Dude, I know I was. I was spot on. And now I'm thinking, okay, so the bet is, and Boomer says, by the way, he thinks we'll get there no later than the 10th of December, which, by the way, easily by the 10th of December.
Easy by the 10th.
So the way it works is, the loser has to buy donuts, and the winner gets to eat the donuts while the loser does push-ups in the studio.
While we're probably live Instagramming it,
I'm pretty
obviously.
Sure that's going to happen. I ain't scared of your push-ups.
No.
How many you want?
I mean, honestly, I'm just excited to get to the 100K.
Okay, yes.
Downloads. I mean, how cool is that?
I thought you were going to say excited to get to the donuts, but
well, excited to get to the donuts too. I'm not going to pass up a good donut.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, back to the Triple Dipper. True crime. I just did, a moment ago, I did Portland. I did New York City. Just examples of the kind of policies that make them high crime cities for no other reason except being soft on crime. How about Chicago? Fox News reports as of 2 days ago. The pandemic of violence, they call it. Wow. Pandemic, I said that a minute ago, didn't I? I said pandemic of crime. Pandemic of violence. Lori Lightfoot's record on crime is at the forefront of Chicago's mayoral election. So if you're not aware, today is the deadline today for people to file to be candidates to run for the mayor of Chicago, which will be right after the first of the year. and Mayor Lori Lightfoot's criminal record, or excuse me, her record on crime, is one of the central issues. So, yeah, it says several individuals have already announced their candidacy in the race. There are a number of issues, and crime is a central priority for both candidates and voters. Homicides in the Deep Blue City rose to their highest in 25 years in 2021, and we're tracking for 2022 to be a bad year, too. One of those candidates, and last name Sawyer, what's his name? He's a son of a former mayor, Eugene Sawyer. Sawyer believes that Lori Lightfoot does not play well with others, chooses petty feuds over leadership, and her priorities are puzzling at best. Regarding Lightfoot's ability to lead, Sawyer, who noted that he grew up in part of Chicago with a high crime rate, said the current mayor is not liked or respected by the police department, and she has stood in the way of one of her primary campaign promises, which is meaningful police reform. By the way, I always question the words police reform when they're coupled with personal safety, because usually the police reforms from the liberals these days involve defunding and making sure they have, you know, more counselors on the street. Anyway. One of the other candidates, last name Buckner, says Chicago is suffering a horrifying pandemic of violence. Crime and homicides in particular, it's the worst it's been since 1996. In 2021, he says, a staggering 797 people were murdered, and shootings have gone up 53% since 2018. Carjackings in neighborhoods across the city has increased 200% since 2019. That's epic. And it says that while the numbers of people being shot or killed are down this year, there's still been an overall 35% increase in crimes in 2022, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. So when you've got crime rates like this, you have to look at it and go, it's more than just a cultural issue. It's also a policy issue. When you signal to the criminals that they can do what they want and they won't face penalties for it, then why should they abate their own behavior? There's no reason to. None. When you signal to the criminal element of your city that the leadership does not care about what you do, or at the very least cares little, or for that matter will look the other way, then you have to recognize that the result of that is not going to be a more peaceful city. It's going to be the city where things begin to be rampant. For instance, in San Francisco, they have a policy, literally, the DA in San Francisco, and it may actually be the city council, passed an ordinance. You cannot be prosecuted for theft unless you have stolen over $1,000 in goods. Retail theft is through the roof now in San Francisco. And you know what they do? They literally have fences, the guys who buy the stuff, you know, out on the streets waiting, and they pay drug dealers $20-$30 to go in and you've seen the videos. They walk in, and they just take things, and they walk back out, and nobody can stop them. And they know how to go and get a certain amount of items, and they may not have their life together, but they can do math well enough to know when they're below $1,000. And they'll do it, and they'll go outside, collect their $20, go buy some drugs, come back the next day, and that's how they feed their habit. Meanwhile, theft is through the roof. Well, what about Birmingham? Right here in Alabama. Story on the Trustful Tribune. Just 8 days ago, a 27-year-old man was shot and killed in an apartment complex in Birmingham on Saturday, November 19th, making it Birmingham's 122nd murder of the year 2022. 122nd murder of 2022, early in November, halfway through November. All right, 122, by the way, is 10 short of the record, because in the record was 132, which happened in the year 2021. In the 2020, they had another record. They keep moving the needle in the wrong direction in our Birmingham. Maybe just for a minute, the Birmingham City Council and Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin shall stop talking about let's legalize marijuana and let's not allow our police to do no-knock warrants, and let's make sure that when they do a SWAT raid on a house, they can't use flashbang grenades. Those are policies now. They can't do those things. Why? Because it's scary for the bad guys. That's why. And you know what it does? When you say you can't do a no-knock warrant with probable cause, or when you say you can't use a flashbang grenade to disable or disorient a shooter on the far side of a door, all you've done is make it more deadly and harder for your police force. And when you do things like Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin did, and you do a 15,000 blanket pardons of drug possession in the city of Birmingham back to the year 1992, when he was probably, what, 15 years old? When you do that kind of thing, all you're doing is signaling to law enforcement there's no sense arresting him, and the criminal element, there's no worries on the street. You can do what you want. It goes back to that whole broken windows theory. If you let the broken windows continue, the crime rates will rise. If you stop the people from throwing rocks through the windows, crime rate will go down. Well, story here in the Birmingham Times, dated January 3rd of this year. More people were murdered in Birmingham in 2021 than in 2020. 132 homicides in the year 2020. And in 2021, it didn't get any better. And then Birmingham in 2021 had 10 more than that. Total of 122 was the year of 2021. 2020, 122. 2021, 132. Mid-November of this year, we were already at 122 and climbing. That's the highest it's been since the 1990s. At least 12 major U.S. cities, the majority of whom are run by Democrats, have broken annual homicide records by the end of the first week in December last year. That would be Portland, St. Paul, Tucson, Albuquerque, Louisville, Indianapolis, Austin, Baton Rouge, Columbus, Ohio, I think, Philadelphia, Toledo, Rochester. It says, we've trended downward in all categories of crime, said the Birmingham police chief. This is not a problem that rests solely on the police department. This is a community issue, a political issue, a budgetary issue. Yeah. So they started doing things like, I don't know, the city council of Birmingham says, let's do restorative justice, where we fund programs to have the victims meet with their perpetrators so they can help a healing process to begin. I got news. The victims of violent crime don't want to sit down with the perpetrator and have a healing process. And if they do, they can seek it out on their own. They don't need you to pay for tax dollars to have a program for it. But they've got, you know, $900,000 in Birmingham to community-based public safety initiatives. Is it making the city safer? No, Birmingham is one of the highest per capita murder rates in the nation, with a very liberal, one of the most liberal mayoral administrations in the entire Southeast. Got to stop it, folks. And you know what happens? It happens with elections, and it happens with people going to city hall, going to town hall meetings, going to city council meetings, and demanding a change and making sure the citizens who are providing for the town are protected from those who are tearing the town down. That's the only way it changes. All right, Boomer, I ran long on purpose. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. I'm going to come back and start the next section of the Triple Dipper. Lame ducks. What's that about? Well, we'll be talking about it also with my friend Stephanie Smith at the bottom of the hour, 3:30. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a caller. Is that Sparky on the line? Yeah, Sparky on line two. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Outstanding job. You and Boomer are knocking it out of the park today.
Thank you, bud.
Hey, I work with local law enforcement in two different states when I was in the military, lower Alabama and Hawaii, to shut down drug houses. And I have a certain perspective on how much involvement with the entire community and leaders within the neighborhoods to keep a neighborhood from dying. And it's possible when the police are engaged with you and work just as hard as you are willing to work to shut down bad people from doing bad stuff. But, you know, expand that from a neighborhood to entire large cities. These woke policies and soft on crime, soft forms of I don't know. Payback for past crimes is the way I look at it.
Huh. Yeah.
restitution and retribution. But it's going to be the death of some of the greatest, former greatest cities in the United States.
Yeah.
You cannot sustain a climate where businesses are shuttering and relocating out of state and out of the city because they can't afford to have people just walk in and steal everything they own. There's no way it'll sustain. And how these people think that just to pander for votes, I guess, they think that they can manage to work it out while the politicians are behind walls and gates themselves and they're immune from the crime. Well, except for Paul Pelosi, who I believe invited it in.
Yeah.
But anyway, great segment. Appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing Stephanie Smith. She's a superstar.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you, Sparky. Appreciate your service, too. Yeah, he's spot on. And I'll say this too. The reality is that I think we're already seeing it in Birmingham. I mean, Birmingham proper, just the actual municipal limits of Birmingham. I mean, look at what's happened. Just, and I said it before, but just on Mayor Woodfin's watch, the census came out and showed that the city declined in population to the point that it went from being the largest city in the state to barely hanging on to second place. It was literally only 112 citizens counted over Montgomery. Basically, if they had counted 113 less, it would have been number three. It would have gone. But that's, don't tell me that's just because of, you know, I don't know, what do you want to label it? Economic issues or whatever. And there's some beautiful things about downtown. There's some amazing architecture. There's still amazing history. There's some good businesses. But what you're seeing right now, though, is the decline of the population of the municipal limits of the city of Birmingham, and its crime is a big factor in that, I believe. And crime is, you know, you blame it on the criminal element, but the criminal element is given a free pass by the city leaders. What do you think is going to happen? Where do criminals go hang out? At the places where they're prosecuted or the places where they're allowed to act in accordance with whatever they desire to do? It's not hard to figure out. I ain't no rocket surgeon, but I can sort of figure it out. You know what? If I'm a criminal, I'm going to go hang out where I know I've got no risk of being arrested and prosecuted. So, yep, that's where we are. All right, we're shifting gears, folks. We're going to go into number two of the Triple Dipper, Lame Duck. So what is that? So here's, if you're not familiar with the title, I'll give it to you real quick. We'll talk with Stephanie Smith here in a few minutes when she calls in. But a lame duck session means the outgoing session. It's when there's already been an election, and there may even be a pending power shift, but the folks who are still in charge are doing all they can while they can. Sometimes it's like the lame duck session of an outgoing governor, and no one cares what that governor says anymore because that governor is not going to be there in a few months. This is also the case in the legislative process when one party realizes it's lost control of the gavel, and so it's going to try and do all it can right now because coming up pretty soon, they won't have the chance. Well, that's where we are. We're at a place right now where the House, the Senate, and the presidency are still held by the Democrats. And the things they're going to try and do during this lame duck session between now and the swearing in of the new Congress, scary stuff. All right, we're coming right back with my friend Stephanie Smith. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.